You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Thank you for being here on the podcast. You know, as we think about saving a marriage or saving a relationship, I always return to the three C's. And these are the three C's, the three simple steps that I lay out in my Kindle book. That's How to Save Your Marriage in Three Simple Steps. Those three steps are to connect with your spouse, to change yourself, and to create a new path. Those are the three steps. One, connect. Two, change. Three, create. And when I lay that out, there's a reason I do that. We always need to be working on that connection, but here's the problem. A lot of times we find ourselves stuck, either stuck in trying to figure out how to reach out to our spouse or stuck in figuring out how to change ourselves. This is a matter of mindset. Our mindset is the way we look at the world, how we understand the world around us, and how we interpret all that. And your mindset interprets partly what's going on in your relationship. So as you're thinking about your relationship, you're thinking about what's going on in it. It's shaped by some of the beliefs that you have. That's your mindset. It's your paradigm, your way of understanding. The problem is, for most of us, our paradigm, our mindset doesn't work anymore, but we haven't figured out how to change it. See, that's that change yourself piece. And so sometimes we're thinking we need to connect with our spouse, but we don't even believe it's possible. Sometimes we think we need to change ourselves, but we don't even believe that's possible. And so today in this podcast, I want to talk about four specific things you can do in order to change that mindset. Let me just talk for a few minutes about why I think that's important. We all get boxed in. There's a term called habituation. Habituation is the idea that you get used to whatever surrounds you. Now, that's a good thing and a bad thing. Over the course of human existence, you know, we've had to adapt to lots of changes in the environment and changes of where we're living and changes in food availability and all kinds of other things. And we do that very well as humans. We get used to whatever we're in. The problem is, once we get used to it, it becomes background noise. You know, it's kind of like those times when, if you can think about it, when you've tried something new, when you've tried something different and it's felt very foreign, and then you do it a few more times and suddenly it's not. My wife recently joined a new gym, and you know, she kept telling me how it was kind of uncomfortable to go because it was all new and all different. Well, after a few visits, suddenly it became normal again. It became her regular thing. You can probably think about times in your own life where something started out as being a little uncomfortable, a little difficult, a little of a challenge, but over time you kind of got used to it and it became the normal. You habituated to that process. Several years back, I had wanted for a long time to be involved in paddleboarding. Paddleboarding was just something that attracted me. And part of the reason it attracted me is because as a child, I did some skateboarding and a little bit of surfing. I wasn't ever a good surfer. I was an okay surfer. But I liked to skateboard in my childhood. And if you remember those days, when I was starting out on a skateboard, it wasn't like they have now with, you know, these nice things. It was basically a block of something. In my case, it was this magical space age glass plastic that my father had brought home from a conference. And, you know, it had the latest wheels on it. And it was much beyond what I'd ever been on before, which was basically a 2x4 with some skate wheels on the bottom. And so I skateboarded all over our neighborhood, sometimes to bad effect when I landed at the bottom of the hill. But, you know, that was one of those childhood experiences that I really enjoyed. I skateboarded to school. I skateboarded to my job after school. And this was before the day of the skater kind of thing. And I was just out skateboarding, had my helmet on and going. No skate parks or anything like that. And so I grew up beyond that a little bit, and I got a little bit into surfing. We were only at the beach a few weeks out of the summer, so I never got good. But I always loved the feel of that surge of the wave picking me up. So in adulthood, as I'm once again landlocked and away from the ocean, I wanted to get back to something that allowed that feeling I had of speed and of moving, and paddleboard seemed to be it. I could stand up. I tried kayaking, and it kept me down too low and bit my long legs in ways that were uncomfortable. And so paddleboarding seemed like a great thing to do. It allowed me to be on the water. It allowed me to have that same kind of surfing thing, but it didn't require the ocean. And it allowed me to kind of take my time and be leisurely about it. And so I wanted to get a paddleboard and was ready to buy one. And my wife finally said, you know, maybe you ought to try one out rather than just reading the magazines and reading about them. Why don't you try it out before you do that? So that summer we were at the beach and she arranged for me and my nephew, who happened to have been spending the week with us, and my son and I, for the three of us to go paddleboarding. And so we went a little bit up the road, the teacher, and I'll put that in parentheses, the instructor basically put out the paddleboards and said, go at it. And so our instruction, that's why I say the instructor, you put that in quotations, our instructor's way of doing it was to get us up and get us going, which in the end worked out pretty well. I wouldn't say I was a natural because I had a head start. You remember, I'd been doing that in childhood, and my nephew was having a little more trouble. He kept falling and getting up. And what I loved to do was watch him laugh and laugh about getting up and doing it. But for all of us, all three of us, it was a bit uncomfortable. It was out of our comfort zone. Now, fast forward that a bit of time, because when we got back from the beach, I knew that that's something I wanted to do. So I got a paddleboard and I would take it out on the Ohio River and I would paddle around, and pretty soon it was normal. It wasn't any big deal, right? And that has always been the case for everything we try. We get used to what we keep doing. And what I realized was, at first, any waves kind of felt very awkward. And I remember the first time I was paddleboarding, my legs were exhausted from kind of trying to stay on that board and keep it centered underneath me. And then after a few weeks of doing that, a wave never even bothered. I didn't even think about it. And then a big wake from a boat is what kind of was the next challenge. It made me uncomfortable to see it coming. And then I got used to that. And it's the same thing throughout our life. We habituate to what surrounds us. Here's the problem. We get stuck the same way. When we forget that that's the case, we get stuck. And by the way, this is usually why marriages are in trouble. We've gotten stuck. We've gotten into bad habits. We've habituated to a place where we're not connecting with our spouse. We're really not even connected with ourselves. We're not looking for a new path in life. We're just kind of moving along. Sometimes we think that we have put the relationship on pause. You know, that's a term that I've used very often, that there is no pause for a relationship. And the reason I say that is because so many people have come to me and said, man, I thought we were okay. I thought we had just paused our relationship. I thought that everything was okay, only to find that it's not okay, that my spouse has fallen out of love with me. And what they thought was going to happen was that they would, over time, come back to the relationship and just pick it up where they left it off. And a lot of times that was, you know, they had kids, or they had career, or they had lots of other interests that got in the way of the relationship. And so they thought that they had hit pause. But relationships are either growing or retracting. They're either growing or receding. There is no pause. And here is where habituation gets us into trouble. We think that everything around us is just kind of normal because it's flat. The problem is the relationship over time is beginning to deteriorate. It's beginning to pull away, and it's beginning to be less healthy because we're not changing our mindset along the way. The mindset, our understanding of what we are in the world and what our relationship is with us, is what gets us stuck. What you believe about yourself, what you believe about what needs to happen, what you believe about the relationship, are your mindset. They all create this pattern that once you start believing it, you forget that you're believing something else. Your opinion might shift a little bit, but you don't notice it shifted. That's the nature of a mindset. We get used to it, and then we forget about it. And so here's the problem. A lot of times when people come to me, they have one very strong mindset. Their mindset is there's nothing they can do to fix their marriage. They hope there is, right? That's why they're coming, and that's why you're listening. You're here because there's a piece of your mindset that believes that something can be different. But there are probably other pieces that are not quite sure about that. You're not sure what to do. You're not sure if there's something that can be done. You're not even sure how to move beyond that. So we want to talk today about how you change your mindset, how you make it shift. And there are four simple little things that you can do to make it shift. If you want to hear about seven ways you can do it, I want you to go to my blog, my other blog, Thriveology.com. That's Thriveology.com, Thriveology.com. And you'll see that I have a podcast that just came out about seven ways to enhance your thriver's mindset. But today I want to talk about four ways to shift your mindset to a more of a growth mindset around yourself and around your relationship. So the first one, number one of how you shift it is very simple. It's get started. Get started. Here's what often happens to us. We think, we plan, we read, we research. I think about that, you know, in the example, it has nothing to do with saving your relationship. It's not nearly as serious, back to that paddleboarding. When my wife said, maybe you ought to try it out, I had read every magazine on it. I had looked at video after video. I had done my research. When I went into the store that had paddleboards in our area, I knew way more than the salesman did. I was asking questions. They didn't even know what I was referencing. Not because I had done it, but because I had researched it. I had taken no action. Research, 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 no action doesn't change anything. A lot of times I have people who come to me and they've read book after book after book, and they've bought workshop after workshop after workshop, and they've watched video after video after video about how to save their marriage, and they have done nothing. The reason is because they have a fear. The fear they have is that nothing can be done. That's the fear. And unfortunately, when we allow that fear to run us, we make that fear true. We verify that we can't do anything because we do nothing. Harry Truman, the president, said, "Imperfect action is better than perfect inaction." I love that quote. One of my favorite quotes right now is that imperfect action is better than perfect inaction. In other words, taking some action, making an attempt, even if it's not going to be perfect, is much better than sitting back doing nothing, waiting for the perfect circumstances to come along. If we wait and wait, what we prove is that there is nothing that can be done. But that doesn't mean that's true. It just means that we've proven the mindset we already have. I want you to have a mindset that something can be done. And the first step is just to get started, to try something out, to try something small. You don't have to do huge things, which leads me to kind of the backup piece to this. I want you to understand what's called the competence-confidence loop. Performance psychology says that there is a competence-confidence loop that builds on itself. When we have some competence, when we know some skills, then our confidence grows. And as our confidence grows, we can become more competent because we'll try on new skills, which leads to more confidence, which leads to more competence, that leads to more confidence. For example, think about when you ride a bike, learning to ride a bike. I remember when my kids were small. I kind of remember it when I was small, when I was learning to ride a bike, but I remember watching it with my kids. They didn't know how to ride their bike, and they knew they didn't, and it scared them. And so what did we do first? They sat on a bike, just sat on it with training wheels on, got their balance just sitting on it, and then I pushed them a little bit with training wheels on until they got used to that. Their competence, their balance got better. And so their confidence grew a little bit. And so then they began to pedal with those training wheels on. And as they pedaled with those training wheels on, they gained more confidence and competence in what they were doing. They gained the skills of moving it forward and felt better about doing it. So then the next step was to take off the training wheels, scare them again. So what did we do? Back to the same thing. I walked that bike beside. They didn't even have to pedal. I just walked it along, and they got used to the movement without those training wheels on. And then I ran it a little bit. And as I ran it and they began to paddle, at one point, as they were pedaling, I let go, and they began to take over. And as they took over, they were suddenly riding their bike. Their confidence and their competence played back and forth. The same is true in any skill, and working on yourself and working on your marriage are some skills. right? How you connect with your spouse. There's some skills to that. You may have forgotten how to do that over time, but there are some skills to that. So it's starting to try that. Sometimes I can't even get people to send a one-way text. You know, that's what I reference in my material, those one-way texts. The one-way text is to say, hey, I'm thinking about you, hoping your day is going well. That's all it is. And yet they don't do that because they're scared even to take that action. That's a lack of confidence. And yet if they step out and do it, if they become competent in doing that, they'll be more confident in it, and it grows. And so part of getting the mindset to change is to get started. Action fights fear. Action is the only way you can fight fear. So choose what actions you want to take, and that will take over your fear. Just get started trying to do something, whether it's sending a one-way text or sending a letter of apology or asking your spouse for a tag-along date or finding some other way of connecting. Or looking at yourself and going, okay, how can I change? How can I be intentional about the ways I want to be different in this relationship? How can I track that? How can I write that down? How can I make sure that I stay on target with that? All of those pieces are about getting started. Okay, so the first thing we want to do is get started. So the next way you change your mindset is to embrace struggle. This is one that I think is already a shift in how you think about things. So a shift in your mindset is just to embrace struggle. We're in a world that believes that the absence of struggle is, for some reason, the better way. The more we struggle, the wronger we are. The harder a relationship is, the more that relationship needs to not be there. The struggle has become an indication that something is wrong rather than that's how we grow. Person after person has come into my office and said, you know, if this relationship was right, it wouldn't be so hard. I don't know where we have believed that or picked it up, but it is absolutely false. Everything that makes us grow has to be a struggle. Think about if you decide you want to build up your muscles. What do you have to do that? You have to make them struggle. You have to go and make those muscles work harder than they're used to so they will grow. I've used this example many times, but I love the story. Some years ago, we were at the beach, and it happened to be at the time when turtles were hatching. And I love sea animals. And so we'd go down at night waiting for the nest to boil. And if you don't know that term, it's when the baby turtles start coming out of the nest so fast they're just piling over each other, and it's like the nest erupts with baby turtles. Well, we were unfortunately not able to see a boil, but we did see a number of turtles get on their way to the ocean. It was a couple of days before a boil, and so we missed it, but we got to watch a few make the struggle. And so we were down at the beach. It's in the dark. You know, it always happens at night. And so we were out there helping the volunteers to protect the baby turtles. That was kind of our official role. What we really wanted to do was watch the baby turtles go, but our official role was helping. And so the volunteers who had training would watch, and they would instruct us, and they would make sure that we didn't get in the way. They were the ones who protected the nest before the baby turtles were hatched and kept an eye on things. And so our job was to kind of line the beach down to the ocean so that as the turtles came out, they didn't get snatched up by raccoons or possums or birds or crabs or anything else, that they had a chance to get to the ocean. I don't know if you know the figures, but somewhere around 1 in 1,000 baby turtles will make it into adulthood to come back and lay eggs. 1 in 1,000. So it's kind of important that we get as many as we can into the ocean. So I knew this fact, and I was sitting there talking to one of the volunteers, and I said, you know, it makes sense to me that if we really want this to happen as effectively as possible, that we ought to just gather up those baby turtles and walk them down to the ocean and release them in the ocean. And she said, well, we used to think that too. The problem is we've learned that part of what has to happen is that turtle has to drag itself across the sand to the ocean to get the muscles built up so they can swim. Otherwise, they can't get away from the predators in the ocean, and they'll sink to the bottom, and they can't do that. So if we help them out like that, if we keep them from struggling their way to the ocean, we keep them from having survival skills. And the same is true for humans. If we avoid struggle, we don't grow stronger. We don't learn the skills of how to deal with struggle. So the first thing I want you to do is say, I'm going to embrace struggle. after you decided to get started, now you're going to embrace struggle. You don't have to go looking for it. It'll come to you. But just embrace it instead of trying to avoid it. Recognize that an absence of struggle is really an indication that you're habituated to your current spot. You're stuck. That when you're not struggling, you're not growing. And when you've got that comfortable spot, it will quickly turn uncomfortable, kind of like a marriage crisis does to you. You suddenly realize that you haven't been growing, you haven't been developing the relationship, you haven't been growing yourself, and you don't even know the path. So embrace struggle as a way of looking for growth. Now, you don't have to struggle all the time. That's not it either. But when struggle comes, don't avoid it. Decide to learn from it. As I've learned more about my body and exercising, what I recognize is after I have exercised really hard, I've got to give my body some time to rest, to recuperate, to kind of heal itself and find a new safe spot. Well, it's the same with this. You don't have to constantly 100% of the day be struggling through life, and you don't have to be constantly struggling with your spouse. But you want to have a mindset that when the struggle comes, you're going to deal with it. You're not going to avoid it. You're going to find some growth in the struggle. When we find comfort, we rarely call forth our own excellence. Comfort is not the same as being okay. It keeps us locked in, and we avoid excellence when we are stuck at our comfortable spot. Comfort is also rarely a spot of meaning or purpose. And here we are at what I consider to be significantly meaningful work. To be working to save your marriage is, in my mind, very significant work. Should be meaningful even if you feel frustrated with it, even if it's tough, even if it feels like you can't get moving, it still has meaning and purpose. So when we have that place where we decide to move into struggle, suddenly we're engaging in a place of meaning and purpose again. A lot of times people say, you know, I just don't know what to do, so I just don't think I'll do anything, and they're stuck in that. But when they get started and when they decide that they're going to take on the struggle, suddenly it takes on more meaning. Suddenly it takes on more purpose, which leads us to the third step in making a shift in your mindset, which is to redefine failure. Redefine failure. When something doesn't work out, you can see that as a failure, or you can see it as lesson learned, a way not to do it. In my mind, the difference between failure as a permanent factor and just a stuck point is whether you keep getting up. It's not how many times, as the quote goes, you get knocked down. It's how many times you can get back up. And this is definitely true when you're working to either save your marriage or change yourself or both. There are going to be times when you don't get where you want to. You try something with your spouse and they don't want to have anything to do with you. They're not responding the way you want them to. Or you're trying to change yourself and you find yourself backsliding to those old behaviors you don't want to have. And you can say, I failed, I give up. Or you can say, okay, that didn't work. I've got to try something different. I've got to get back up and do something else. I've got to keep moving forward. And so redefine failure. Failure is when you just decide to give up. Failure is not when something doesn't work out. That's just a lesson learned. Okay, so now we've got this place where you're getting started. You just decide to dive in and you embrace the fact that there's going to be some struggle. In fact, you're going to redefine failure as only if you give up. That other than that, it's just lessons learned, which leads us to the final way I want you to think about changing your mindset. Embrace life evolution. For me, life evolution, I'm not talking about the theory of evolution, but the idea that change takes place by trial and error. That really, I mean, in the evolutionary model, trial and error is how anything happens, right? That this didn't work, but this might work. And so as we embrace life, just decide that it's about evolution of life. In his book, Adapt, Tim Hartford says, it's impossible to know whether a solution will work before it is tried out. It's impossible to know whether something's going to work before it is tried out. Sometimes I'll say, hey, you know, you might want to do this. And people say, oh, that won't work. To which I'll ask, how do you know? Have you ever done it? And sometimes they'll tell me they've tried something like it, or maybe they've tried it, but they're not at the right place to have tried it. But a lot of times they say, no, I haven't, but it just won't work. If you embrace the idea that it just won't work, then you've missed the idea that part of this is about experimenting to see what does work. What does work for you? What does work for the relationship? It's looking for how can you slowly make changes that allow you to adapt your life to a new place. So as you're thinking about how do you change your mindset, remember to embrace life evolution, that it's about trial and error. It's about trying things out to see what happens and then stepping back and thinking about it and trying something different when that doesn't work. You don't know whether a solution is going to work until you tried it out. That doesn't mean you have to try everything at once or that some outlandish idea comes along. There are just going to be some things that you say, that's not going to work. I've seen lots on the internet about how do you cast a spell to make your spouse fall in love with you, or how to use your astrology things to make someone fall back in love with you, or how do you use reverse psychology. And there are a lot of things that you can just look at and say, that just doesn't even make any sense to me. But when you take something, for instance, I've talked about building the connection. Start building a connection with one-way texts. And sometimes people say, well, that won't work. To which I'll say, have you ever tried it? Almost always, they have not even tried it to know whether it will work or not. So the idea on this, on how to change that mindset, is to say, I've got to go at this as trial and error. Instead of that didn't work and I'm stuck, it's that didn't work. So now what? What's the next trial? Okay, so just to go through this one more time, when you're ready to switch your mindset, and that's something you can do at any time, first thing you want to do is get started. Don't make it a huge thing, but imperfect action is better than perfect inaction. Choose something, build your confidence and your competence up as you go. Don't wait for sudden revelation from somewhere to tell you what to do. Get started. Get started. That will fight your fear. That will get you going. Next, embrace struggle. Just recognize that struggle is a part of getting beyond it and doing something different and finding new ways, that struggle is how we grow. We don't grow without struggle. And by the way, there's a parenting lesson in there too. We got to let our kids struggle, but we've also got to be willing to say, makes me a bit uncomfortable, but that's what growth is about. Next, redefine failure. Failure is just when you refuse to keep trying. Other than that, it's just a lesson learned. It's a starting point for the next stage. It sets up the next experiment, which is where you embrace life evolution, that life is trial and error. You'll only know whether something's going to work when you try it out. Okay, so those are four steps you can do to change your mindset of where you're stuck as you're trying to save your marriage. Now, I just want to ask you to help me. I provide these podcasts. There's no charge. And I know sometimes people say, well, how can I share this? Because then people will know that my marriage is in trouble. My hope is that you've heard something today that would apply to everybody in any marriage, that it could be helpful for anyone. And so you can help me a couple of ways. One is you can leave a review at iTunes. If you've listened to this as a podcast on one of Stitcher or iTunes or anywhere else, you can leave a review there and let people know that it's been helpful. If you're on Twitter, it's real easy to send it out to your followers. You can do a tweet very easily. That you don't even have to type it in. If you type into your browser, savethemarriage.com/Kindle, it'll put the link to this into your tweet, and you can just send it on out and just let people know that you got something out of it. Or you can leave a comment on the comment section of the blog. That's a great way for people to have conversations together. And just pass it on. Let people know. Share it on Facebook. There's a place to do that on the blog. You can share it on Pinterest or anywhere else. Remember that everybody struggles in their marriage. So just because you said you got something out of this doesn't mean everybody's going to go, oh, so something's wrong with you. You can be helping them find their way. If they're not having marriage problems, they're not going to have any interest in this. But if they are, you might be a lifeline. So help me do that. Help me do that by going to the blog. If you're not on the blog, you can find it very easily. SaveTheMarriageBlog.com. That's SaveTheMarriageBlog.com. By the way, people want to know how to find the Kindle book. You can go to SaveTheMarriage.com/Kindle. SaveTheMarriage.com/Kindle. That'll get you to Amazon and let you grab that. The final thing is, if you have an idea for this podcast, please email me. Let me know. This is a conversation that we're having, and you're part of the conversation. Talking back to me can happen on that email by sending me an email at podcast@savethemarriage.com. That lets me know what's on your mind. That's not a place to tell me your whole life story and how to get help for that, but that's how to tell me what else you would like to hear on the podcast. Okay, so that's it. You've learned how to help me. I hope I've helped you. I wish you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.